This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. Ivy Hilliard.
Repeat after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." We established in our last time together that it takes work. That the phrase there in Ecclesiastes, multitude of business, comes from a Hebrew phrase that means painstaking effort. If you're going to have a good marriage, it requires effort on your part. And so what happened with most of us is that we got married not knowing what to do. Because all you need to do to get married is go down and buy a license. First, you got to find somebody that's willing to marry you. And then, you go and buy your license. In our last time together, we asked you to get the audio cassette tape, listen to it. Have you done that? Many of you, did y'all get to listen to the tape? Then we asked you to call a peace truce. So you've done that, right? Now, we said that would be our effort to recapture the peace in our homes. And so you owe it to yourself to call this peace truce. Then we had you to write some good things about your mate. Five good things. Now, how many of you did that? Write those five. How many brought your list with you? Because you're supposed to bring your list. All right, now that's going to be, we're going to use those lists, you know, in a little bit. Not right now, but we're going to use them in a little bit. Trust that you brought your list. Only five things. Amen. Now, we told you they could be as intimate as you needed them to be, because nobody's eyes will see them but your eyes. But we're going to use them a little later. All right. Now, tonight, my subject tonight is transforming you in your marriage. Transforming you in your marriage. Transforming you. Keys to transforming you in your marriage. Now, you must promise me tonight that you will listen to this lesson for yourself. If you attempt to try to analyze your mate in this lesson, you will miss it. You must listen for yourself. You must not listen to this lesson and try to say, that's what's wrong with him. If you're doing that, you're going to miss it. Before the relationship can be transformed, you have to be transformed. Nobody can change you without your permission. And so you have to give the word of God, you have to give it free course to work in your life. So we're going to talk about transforming you in your state. Now, Philippians, turn that with me, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. There Paul talks about how he had learned in whatever state he's in there with to be content. So a place of contentment and peace is learned. And so you have to reach this place of peace. You have to learn contentment with your marriage state, just like it is, before it can change. Didn't say that you ought to be satisfied with it, but you have to develop a peace in it. Because without this place of contentment, you do not have a platform for positive change. All right? There, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. These are the words of Paul. So he says, see, contentment is a learned state. It's a learned state. Now, the Bible says that the fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. The fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. And so we have to get you out of the turmoil that you're in and the frustration that you're in with your marriage not being where you want it for some. And for others, we have to bring you to a place of peace before we can promote you to the place where you want to go. You cannot chart a course to a new destination unless you know, first of all, where you are. So we got to find out where you are. So the question tonight is, what did you bring to the altar? When you married, when you walked down the aisle, what did you bring to the altar? Look at the person next to you. That's the question. Come on, they're in the overflow. Talk to the person next to you. Say, that's the question. Come on, tell them that's the question. What did you bring to the altar? See, because you brought something. Not what your mate brought. If you start looking at what your mate brought, you're going to miss it. This is a lesson for personal inspection. I mean, just act like nobody's here tonight, but just me and you. Got it? Nobody's here, just me and you, and you're going to allow the Spirit of God to take this word. I'm talking to you, not to your mate, not to your daddy, your mama, nobody but you. Look at the person next to you and say, this is my private counseling session with Pastor. All right, let's review some things. First of all, we said that marriage is a divine institution established by God, entered into by two free moral agents of the opposite sex who covenant together with each other to live together after the plan of God with another imperfect person. So now you are imperfect yourself. Now, Bible says before you can start picking out splinters in somebody else's eye, you have to first deal with the beam, the 2x4, sticking out of your eye. Here's where we want to go. Let's define our destination. Here are some components of a healthy marriage. Components of a healthy marriage. A healthy marriage has unconditional love. Love is unconditional when there are no more becauses. And all of us married because something. All of us entered into marriage selfishly. I mean, there was something that you thought you would gain and benefit from the marriage. You were not looking at all at what the other person would get from you. You were totally looking at how can my life be the better by marrying this person. Am I right? Now, the tragedy is you really didn't know who you were marrying. And you never know, because courtship is a masquerade. You know, he bathed before you married. Now you can't get that rascal close to water. You really thought that was her hair. You did. All right. Number two, components of a healthy marriage. We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to getting rid of the becauses. But as long as I have a because, I'm selfish. As long as I say I love you because I am selfish. And when I stepped into the marriage covenant, I stepped into a relationship where I live for the benefit of another. Amen, amen. All right. The next component of a healthy marriage is acceptance. The respect of others and being included in meaningful activity. Everybody wants the acceptance. Number three is security. Security is the natural overflow of a predictable relationship. Purpose. And that is the knowledge to know that the knowledge that I have a beneficial role, the need to be needed. Everybody needs to be needed. And it is tragic when you hear from your mate, I don't need you. Amen, amen. All right. Communication. That is caring conversation and discussion with the intent to agree. All right. Commitment. Commitment is the orderly arrangement of lifestyle to fulfill expectations. Common causes are those things that you and your mate do together to keep you bonded, where you have common friends, common focuses, common fellowship. I have seen couples who, after 5 or 6 years, with a good understanding, he goes his way, she goes her way. And then after 5 or 6 years of that, then they look around and they have nothing in common. They allowed themselves to grow apart. They don't have the same friends. They don't have the same focuses. They don't have the same kind of fellowship. You cannot let that happen if you're going to have a healthy relationship. Number 8 is crisis management. Crisis management is a systematic application of righteous principles whereby agreement and harmony is not disturbed in the relationship as you handle problems. Number 9 is romance. The expression of passion, which leads to intimate fulfillment. Number 10 is fun. Marriage ought to be fun. Courtship was fun. Marriage ought to be fun. Amen, amen, amen. All right, now, the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what happened? After you walked down the aisle and you thought everything was going to be peaches and cream, what happened? Well, part of what happened is that you did not have the knowledge to maintain a good relationship. Another thing that happened was that we have adopted the world's view of marriage. And the world's view of marriage, of course, is selfish. When God's view of marriage is that I live for the benefit of another, I take on the responsibility and the benefit of another. Then many of us married with hidden agendas. You had a desire for a child, but not necessarily a mate. Hidden agenda. You had a desire for a good business partner, but not necessarily a mate. You had a desire for the status and fame and financial reward that a relationship with that person would bring, but not necessarily a desire for a mate. It's getting quiet. Many times what happened was you confused romance with love. You confused lust with love. Now, we're gonna get into some heavy stuff on that, but not tonight. Amen, not tonight. Number 5, what happens is I've been giving these points. I've been having, you don't have number 5, don't worry about it. If you don't have number 5, number 5 on my notes, all right? Number 5 is you mishandled mistakes and errors and expectations. Now, when you mismanage others outside of your marriage, it can lead to trouble in your marriage. All right, let's talk on this. My commitment to God defines my commitment to my mate. My commitment to my mate then defines my commitment to everybody else outside of our relationship. So the in-laws don't come before my mate. The boys don't come before my mate. The strongest relationship I have, natural relationship, is with my wife. The Bible says that's why a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. So my commitment to God defines my commitment to her. And my commitment to her defines how I'm going to deal with everybody else. Now, that if I want to have God's best, that's God's order. Now, so if I mismanage how I deal with others in respect to my wife, it causes trouble. in my relationship. I remember, you know, when I was a young preacher, I used to tell Bridget, everybody say his dumb day. All right, in my dumb day, I used to tell Bridget, look, it's God first, it's church, and then you. Look, I ain't have hardly no members, and you can throw a rock on something and not hit anybody. And God showed me I had it wrong. That he was judging me. He would bless me based on the stewardship that I had with this woman. Amen, amen, amen. Mismanagement of emotions can wreak havoc in a relationship. Mismanagement of emotions. Now, I want you to put that there, write that down, underline that, because that's what we're going to deal with tonight. You mismanage your emotions. Mismanagement of finances causes strain in a relationship. Mismanagement of parental responsibilities. You all never got together on how y'all going to discipline your children and handle your children. And then infidelity and sin and against the relationship creates a strain on the relationship. Now, let's go back to the oral asterisk that we put by emotions. Because, hush the person next to you and say, now, he's talking to me. We all bring emotional baggage, garbage, deficits into the marriage relationship. And these deficits that we have, remember now, stop it. Quit thinking about your mate. Don't think about your mate. We're talking about you now. You brought some emotional deficits into your marriage. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And if not addressed and properly handled, these deficits will interfere with your ability to love and your ability to have a good relationship. Now, what's an emotional deficit? An emotional deficit is a lack of emotional stability in a certain area caused by some past negative experience or some past negative event that happened. Something that causes you, that interferes with your ability now to relate to people in a similar situation. Five notable causes of emotional damage, emotional handicaps. And by the time you get to the altar, you are damaged. This society beats you up real good. Amen, amen, amen. All right. So here are five notable causes. Number one, past disappointments. When I am disappointed in the past, it becomes extremely difficult for me to trust others to perform what they agreed. Number two, past hurts. When I'm hurt or abused, when that goes unaddressed, it will cause walls of resistance. It will cause me to lash out to hurt others before they hurt me in an effort to protect myself. Past accomplishments can bruise you emotionally. You say, what? Oh, yes, I see it all the time. Because when you succeed, it gives you this sense of rightness. Amen, amen, amen. And that can cause exalted thinking and pride. And I've sat at the marriage table with many people and, you know, here the guy is rattling off about she's got the problem. And he fails to see that he's so lifted up. He has lifted himself up on this pedal, and nobody is impressed with him but him. May I be seated? Surgery takes time. Now, people like this who are victimized by their past accomplishments, who have pride and exalted thinking, they tend to do most of the talking all the time. They tend to be right and always put their spin on every situation to make them look good. They become very selective in who they are willing to hear from, because according to them, everybody's not at their level and can't relate to them. They say words like, after all I've done, and this is what I get. Past rejections. That's number four, past rejections. A person who's not properly dealt with being rejected in the past will tend to be oversensitive about future relationships. And this person becomes extremely suspicious when circumstances and situations prohibit others from keeping their word. Follow me? Because people in the past rejected me, so you didn't do it because you don't like me. Number five, assaulted self-esteem. This is the person who's a victim of verbal abuse, humiliation, and mistreatment. And it leaves an emotional scar that's very deep. Sadly to say, this person will go out of their way to make people like them. They will make painful adjustments to try to get other folk to like them. Do things that they don't like to do and don't want to do just to try to get somebody to like them. They sacrifice their feelings just to be accepted. Amen, amen, amen. Now, when I've been scarred up with any one of these, and believe me, one of these scars you have. Now, when I marry, I am looking for somebody to take away the pain. So my selection is not what I can do for somebody, but what can somebody do for me? The tragedy is you're expecting somebody to do for you what only Jesus can do. And that is why you're disappointed. Because you thought they were going to erase the pain. All right, here's the tragedy. You thought that they could take away your pain. And instead of taking away your pain, they added to it. Somebody know I'm right tonight. And so you felt betrayed, because your dream was that you were entering into a whole nother realm of living. Your dream has now become a nightmare. You feel betrayed, but the truth is you entered into it being deceptive yourself. Hallelujah. It was your best effort attempt to try to get somebody to do for you what only Jesus can do. Remember when I told you what we were going to do, the stages I told you we were going to go through? And the second stage was to get you to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get it from here. Yeah, that's what has to happen. Believe me, you have to block out your mate. I mean, really, really, these first, you have to totally forget about them. What they're not doing, what you want them to do. You have to totally forget about them, and you have to get this relationship with you and God on track. That is what brings peace. That is what brings contentment. That is what strengthens you to handle the storms. On your way to the altar, your emotions got damaged. All right, we're going to have a little illustration now. Craig and Sandra, y'all want to do this for me? All right. All right. All right. This is Brother Craig Williams. Craig Williams, I want you to go over there toward that wall. All right. And Sister Sandra, this is his precious wife, Sandra. They are my cousins. Good people, good people. Good. All right. Huh? This is my cousin, Sandra. Throw that saddle. Now, I need some other people to help me. All right. Who wants to help me? I need some brothers to help me. All right, you want to help me, brother? All right, I need you to take this and to take a couple of pieces of newspaper. Now, when I tell you, this is what I want you to do. You're going to take a sheet of newspaper. You're going to ball it up. And you're going to put it in his bag. Got it? Can you handle that? All right. Well, huh, take another. All right. Now, I need somebody to go walk with Sandra. You going to go walk with Sandra? All right. Cuss Sandra. Now, you're going to do the same thing. When I tell you, take a sheet, ball it up, and put it in the bag. Got it? All right. Now, I want to introduce to you these two developing people, Craig Williams, Cassandra Williams. And they are in their infancy. They are on their way to the altar. And there are things that happen on their way to the altar that's going to affect them. All right? Now, what can negatively affect you as a child? This assault to your self-esteem. Huh? Abuse. So let's, now this is, everybody say hypothetical. So what could happen to Sandra on her way to the altar? Cuss Sandra in childhood. What's that? We're talking about as a little child. Rape as a little child. Ball up some paper, give it to her. All right. What else? Rejection. How? Her parent gave her away. Found in a trash can. Now you got to ball my paper up, you know. One sheet at a time. I got to fill my bag. All right. Well, wait a minute. We ain't putting nothing in there yet. You just got over there. Just start throwing paper in there. Just wait. You got to participate. I'm going to let you get yourself together. Hold on. All right. Now, here is little baby Craig. So cute. Ooty, ooty. He's so cute. Now, what can happen as a child to him on his way to the altar? Huh? No father figure. No father figure. And so everybody, all the kids will tell him, you know, you ain't got no daddy. You ain't got no daddy. Everybody jump on him. All right. Come on, throw that in the trash can. All right. All right. What else? Huh? Teacher verbally, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You so dumb. Get it in the back of the class. All right. Give him some money. Now, don't ball it up that tight. I mean, you got to... need to ball that paper up myself. I gave y'all a demonstration. My ward was about this big. Y'all be balling up in this. She just. I'm gonna find my paper ball up. What else could happen to him? Come on now, childhood. What else could happen? What's that? Huh? Alcoholic parents. Grow up seeing everybody drunk all the time. They cussing and fussing and that sort of thing. All right. What else? Come on, man. I want some men to talk to me tonight. What's that? Everybody tell me going to be just like your daddy. You understand? And his daddy doesn't have such a good report. All right. You'll be just like your daddy. All right. What else? Come on. All right, parents did not support him, you know, didn't go to his elementary graduation. He looked out in the audience, nobody there. Amen. All right. And that hurt him because now nobody, he don't believe no people want to support him. And it's a deficit. All right, come on over here now. Let's get back to, you got to be ready? You ready? All right. So what else could happen to Sandra in her childhood? Every overweight as a child, everybody just talking, you little fat thing, you little pig, you little pig. Oink, 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 little pig. All right, come on. What else? Come on, ladies, what else? She didn't get nothing for Christmas. All right, no, nothing for Christmas. Nobody loves me. All right, what else? She ain't no teenager yet. She's a baby. She's, huh? She's a child out of wedlock, so she don't have no daddy, huh? So everybody look at you, ain't got no daddy yet. All right, come on. What else? We already got that. We already put that in the bag. What else? Lost a mother at an early age. Lost a parent at an early age. We're being raised by somebody else. She's in bad shape. All right, all right. You all right? Follow me. Then everybody else act like she don't want her. You know, all the rest of your family act like they don't want her. Oh, yeah, yeah, you come on too. Come on too. You understand? What's that? Oh, well, she's still a child now. We're going to get to the adolescent in a minute. She's just a baby now. You understand? She's just a baby. What else? Huh? She's got a physical handicap. Physical handicap. Put that in the bed. All right. Come on, Sandra. Cassandra, why don't you come in and stand right this way? Because now you're growing up now. You had a real rough childhood. Right there. Stop. Stop right there. Right there. Stop right there. Right there. Gotta go back a little. All right. All right. Come on, Brother Craig. You're grown up. Now he's a teenager. What's that? Come on. What I hear? I want the men to talk to me. Huh? Couldn't get no prom date. All right, come on. Don't laugh. Couldn't get no prom date. Come on, put some garbage in the bag, all right? Couldn't get no prom date. What's that? Huh? Got cut from the team. All his other guys played on the team, but he got cut off the team. Come on, brothers, I need him. Dropped out of school. What else? Drugs. All right. Got messed up in drugs. All right. Yeah. He got arrested. All right. His mama had a whole lot of men. And they're all the boys were talking about. Amen. All right. That's enough right there, brother. That brother got a mama. Huh? Y'all messed up. All right. Now, she's in her adolescence. Come on, help me now. All right, she had an abortion. Put me some garbage in the bag. All right. What else, ladies? Come on. Now, who? I have an usher over an overflow? Come on, I need some overflow stuff. Come on, usher, communicate. Y'all got all them RDD2 things on your head. Y'all be able to talk to me. What's that? Father was a bum. Oh, God. The preacher made it pass at her. Put that in the bag. Well, this is just hypothetically. Hypothetically, we're just talking about things, okay? We resurrect the parents. They got raised from the dead. So, no, we kill the parents. They can't be alive now, but they got raised from the dead. All right. So what? Who? Her uncle. Her uncle that's raising her. Now y'all gonna kill the parents then. Her aunt. Oh, no. All right. Homosexual. Her uncle, homosexual. She attempted suicide. Put some garbage in the bag. Date rape. What my overflow saying? Date rape from the overflow. More garbage in there. Oh, she's bad. She's in bad shape. All right, that's she got enough right now going. She's dealing with a whole lot right now. All right, now, boy meets girl. And what they do is they take their deficits and they hide them during the courtship. He puts a lot of perfume on his and cologne, you understand? She makes hers up, you follow me? And all during the courtship, they just smiling. Because they know how to hide these deficits. Because secretly, he's looking for somebody to take away his pain. She's looking for somebody to take away her pain. And they're looking at each other like, where have you been all my life? Finally, I'm going to be happy. And so they come to the altar. And they get married. He says, I do. And she says, I do. And then they go home. And when they get home, there's no more camouflaging the garbage anymore. In fact, let me tell you, that stuff starts stinking on the honeymoon. Y'all know I'm right. I mean, on the honeymoon, you start seeing these imperfections. Things start surfacing. You say one thing and they take it another way. And you scratch your head, what did I do? So after a while, they quit trying to cover it up. This is just the way I am. And when they're at home, they open the bags. And the whole house stinks. Stinks so bad, nobody wants to be around them. What they thought really was going to turn out to be a dream is a nightmare. They brought some issues to the altar that they didn't deal with. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. The destructive thing about this is that when there is lingering emotional pain, it warps my perception of things. Because I filter everything through where I've been, what others have done to me. And I really believe that others are just like I am. They have a hidden agenda. So what happens when I fail to address my own deficits? Hunch the person next to me and say, listen for yourself now. What happens when I fail to address them? I'm crippled in my attempt to reach my present goals. Number two, Satan piggybacks on my emotional negatives to torment my life. The devil sits down and tell him, see, you see that? See what she's doing to you? You got disappointed in your first marriage. Your first wife played on you. She's playing on you. You remember when you were courting so-and-so? Follow me? And your best friend went with your girlfriend, and everybody knew but you. Look at your wife. She's gone. She's not at home. She said she was going to the mall. You know it don't take that long to go to the mall. Where is she? And then she put on some cologne before she left, didn't she? She don't have to put on cologne, dress up like that to go to the mall. Where is she? I can tell you where she is. The devil sits right on your shoulder and piggybacks. He knows those things. He was there when those things happened, you understand? And so he keeps tormenting you with them. See, you can't trust a woman. You can't trust a woman. You can't. See, you can't trust a woman. You remember what your mama did to your daddy? And remember, you said you weren't going to never let that happen to you. It's about time you do something, don't you? Don't you think? Devil plays that same game on a woman. Man, you gonna let him get away with that? The reverse also happens. See, the Bible says, any man who sins is drawn away of his own lust. But the devil will turn that and say, you see, you've done something again wrong. You messed up again. See, now, if you had really been the kind of wife you needed to be, he wouldn't have done that. See, the devil plays on your past. See, this happened to you before. See, you wasn't worth anybody coming to your graduation. So that's why he doesn't love you like he should. Because you're not worth much. She ugly. I mean, I've met some Bridget and I met some ladies who are gorgeous, and they really think they're ugly, and there's nothing you could tell them. You can tell them, "Oh, girl, you look so." I mean, why are you? I mean, and they were going, "Oh no, no, no! I'm so ugly." They said, "Just don't." It's tragic. It's tragic because the devil's right there telling them. Number three, emotional deficits cause you to misread current events along the course of life. I misread things. Amen, amen. All right. The Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So he constantly disrupts your peace. Constantly plays the blame game on you. And your life is a mess. Amen. When Bridget and I got married, we brought a lot of garbage to the altar. Oh, it looked like a joyous day. I was decked. She was decked. But we had a lot of garbage. I mean, a lot of garbage. And that stuff starts stinking. We loved each other. We just couldn't get along. I was Mr. Right. Because I had been trained to be right. I was the wonder boy preacher. I was nominated by my graduating class as most likely to succeed. One of the social clubs there, classes there. I was the most outstanding senior boy. She ought to be happy. She's married to me. I married her for a selfish reason. Because in the Baptist circle, I couldn't get a church without a wife. And I needed a wife. She fit the bill. Her husband was her father was a chairman of the deacon board. She ought to know how to act. Her mama worked real good in church, so her mama was a good church woman, so she ought to know how to be a good church woman. Selfish. So I couldn't understand. Now, when I got married, how come she won't fit in the mold I made for her? We had both come out of two failed relationships. She had been married before and it ended in divorce. I had been married before and it ended in divorce. And there were some things that we declared that we would never let happen to us again. I said, "I ain't gonna never let nobody do me like that anymore." Now, please hear me. I am not casting a stone at my first wife. That was my dumb day. Had I known then what I know now, divorce never would have happened. Got it? So I don't want anybody leaving out here saying I'm not casting a stone. I just didn't know. And she didn't know either. Follow? We just didn't know. We were very young and dumb, didn't know, made a mistake. Bridget, there were some things that she said weren't going to ever happen to her no more. So when we got married, these no more start cropping up. I start seeing the same devil that I saw in the first marriage was in my second one. Same devil she saw in her first marriage was in the second one. Same problems. So the solution wasn't to change wives. The solution wasn't to change husbands. Because I brought the same deficits into the second relationship. Hallelujah. So what has to happen? I got to deal with them. I have to, because I'm not fit for love until I've dealt with them. Love eliminates all becauses. Whenever I love somebody because I have a condition on it. An unconditional love loves without any becauses. No strings attached. And the only way that happens is that a person gets the overflow of your love relationship with God. And so what God showed us back there in the beginning, he showed us quit trying to help each other, quit trying to point out each other's faults, and just look at yourself and just start working on you. And so what we did was we quit trying to point out we didn't even try to communicate. We couldn't. We just started looking at ourselves, getting our relationship with God on course. God began to wash our hearts. And that's what we're going to talk about, how this happens in the next section. Amen, amen. All right, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Did you get blessed? All right, now.